Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, gonna kind of give you the basics again on something that I covered 4 years ago. It's a good time to recover it. And also, I'm going to give a little story about an AI answer that helps answer something also more revelatory. And I just like how I had to bring that out. And we'll talk about those journal articles around really the way the vaccine was built and the case for autoimmunity as a result of it and other vaccines. What inspired me to do this is I had done that deep dive on IgG4 here recently, and then I was looking back at some of my articles because I was trying to think of potential things that I might see differently now that I know about IgG4. And there are a few episodes that kind of go together, or rather that do go together. And those episodes are the Scales of Truth 25 journal articles, Ground Shaking Dot Connecting on Adjuvants, Nanoparticles, Toxicity, Autoimmunity by Man's Choice. And another one, which I'll mention, but QR0263 is the bibliography for those. Rather than wanting to do a deep dive and cite all the articles as I did Scales of Truth 25 and then 26, which I'll mention in a second, I said, I've read them. I don't want to do the cites to people. So I'm going to instead, it's just a lot more organization. So I went off the cuff on Scales of Truth 25 and the Scales of Truth 26, which then is called Nanoparticles, Autoimmunity, and Hypothyroidism. That was at least related to what I laid out on Quick Rant of Truth of 63. But I may have extended it. You'll have to listen to that again. And then kind of related to this is Quick Rant of Truth 80, but I don't remember whether I added more journal articles. I think I did. Science says nanoparticles cause autoimmunity, but, quote, science says we should use them to treat autoimmunity. So all those are related. But going to Quick Rant of Truth 63, I thought there I did a verbal bibliography. And I decided, let me just go refine my sources for that bibliography. So I'm just ready and deliberate. And I decided then, I noticed that all I had done in Quick Rant of Truth 63 was say, hey, listen, here's the bibliography. So I'm not going to go all the way into these things. I just want to lay out the logic string that is applied by Quick Rant of Truth 63. It now has a different title. It was a little bit different, but now it reads a bibliography for upcoming episodes on nanoparticles used in drugs and, quote, vaccines. Then I went ahead and added the episodes. In this description, I added the episodes to which it was related. So hopefully that helps. By the way, I have done my first Substack, so start looking for me on Substack. I'm going to try to integrate those. For the most part, the first Substack article is just a reference to that IgG4 and that logic string and the journal articles. But I will be doing them, just not right away a lot. So look for my Substack, which is thescalesoftruth.substack.com. So anyway, let's talk about this one very quickly because I think the logic string goes now. When I did the verbal bibliography, they weren't in logical order. So just by me reordering these articles, I also decided, why not make the logic string right here? It's going to be the logic string that goes with Scales of Truth 25 and 26, and a little bit, like I said, that other one, 80 or whatever it was. Yeah, Scales of Truth, a Quick Rant of Truth 80. It by itself, just logically lined up with the article titles, can get you a lot of the way there to the argument. So we're going to do that, and then we'll do that brave AI answer conversation that got me to autoimmunity right there, because that's interesting. So the logic string, first I'm going to lay out what the logic string is, and we're just going to mention the articles under each logical string, and I think it becomes almost self-evident, honestly. So the logic string is going to be one, graphene oxide, and by implication, most or all of these artificially small nanoparticles are toxic. By the way, I'm in my backyard, which I do have a nice water feature, and it's flowing. But also, unfortunately, have a new AC, and it is June in the middle of the country where it can get warm. It's not super warm today, but it's running right now. I'm not going to turn off the AC. So, unfortunately, we have nature sounds with the birds liking the fountain, but we also still have man-made sounds. So, I guess just enjoy the white noise. I'm not going to try to take it out of it. So again, first, graphene oxide, and by implications, most or all of these artificially small nanoparticles are toxic. We're going to lay that out, or rather give those journal articles. Second, but we're going to use them anyway. Third, and we have an excuse anyway. Adjuvants must have some toxicity, and we can use them, that being the nanoparticles, as a platform slash carrier to deliver the quote drugs or quote vaccines to parts of the body they wouldn't otherwise reach. Four, we'll quote mitigate something that is inherently toxic by making it less so. Parentheses, but really, we'll just observe how the body obviously and already mitigates the best it can, and we'll call it good. Five, how we'll trick the body into not responding to its full capacity to this very toxic load. Okay, so first one, graphene oxide, just an overdose of this, no pun intended, of materials that say that this is toxic. Graphene oxide, and by implications, most or all of these artificially small nanoparticles are toxic. Again, I'm going to let the titles stand for themselves, but the whole site is in the description for quick rant of truth 63. First one, graphene-based nanomaterials toxicity in fish. Okay. Second, graphene oxide interaction with lemna minor root barrier strong enough to prevent nanoblade morphology-induced toxicity. Third, sublethal toxicity of graphene oxide in the, I'm going to say, Cenerhabditis elegans. I don't know what that is. Under multi-generational exposure, but you can look that up. Again, it's about toxicity of graphene oxide. Next, toxicity studies on graphene-based nanomaterials in aquatic organisms, current understanding. Next, phytotoxicity of graphene family nanomaterials and its mechanisms, a review. Next, toxicological evaluation of graphene family nanomaterials. Next, cytotoxicity of graphene oxide and graphene in human erythrocytes and skin fibroblasts. Next, biomolecular interactions and biological responses to emerging two-dimensional materials and aromatic amino acid complexes. So they call, as a term of art, something two-dimensional because when they have it at nano sizes, they call that the one dimension. So the thickness is in 1D, if you will, like as small as they can make it right now. And so it's the width and the length that is in regular dimensions, like micro dimensions as opposed to nano dimensions. So that's why they call it 2D. So that is referring to the same thing, but that's how that works. Again, biomolecular interactions and biological responses of emerging two-dimensional materials and aromatic amino acid complexes. Next, hard corona composition and cellular toxicities of the graphene sheets. Next, graphene oxide touches blood, in vivo interactions of biochlorinated 2D materials. Next part of the logic string. So that first one was, hey, it's toxic. Now it's, we're going to use them anyway. Okay. My parenthetical here, the only editorial here is in this section, because new tech, quote unquote, so we'll get the FDA approval and can charge greater prices and our tech can be patentable. Who cares if it really is more effective than 100-year-old treatments or nowhere near as safe? First article, COVID-19 vaccine frontrunners and their nanotechnology design. So again, this is under the category, but we're going to use them anyway. First section was, they're toxic. And so now we're going to use them anyway. Next journal article, graphene oxide, a carrier for pharmaceuticals and a scaffold for cell interactions. Next article, graphene and graphene oxide as new nanocarriers for drug delivery applications. Just for what it's worth, these years, let's see, the first one, where's a year on that? I didn't always, 2020. I'm not always using the exact same site form, you know, like APA, so sometimes they're different. The next one was 2015, the third one was 2013. The next one, this is circa 2015, crucial role of lateral size for graphene oxide in activating macrophages and stimulating pro-inflammatory responses in cells and animals. I'll tell you what that's really about is whether it can mechanically pierce the cell membrane. Crazy, right? Like, what size should it be so it can best mechanically pierce the cell membrane? Next, graphene, a comprehensive review. So that's under the idea, hey, we're making it. I don't know what to tell you. We're using it. We're using it. I know it's toxic. We're using it. So then next one. Now, a lot of the other ones kind of leaned on this anyway, so I only have one other article that's more specifically about this. Logical sequence 3. We have an excuse anyway. Adjuvants must have some toxicity, and we can use them as a platform slash carrier to deliver the, quote, drugs or, quote, vaccines to parts of the body they wouldn't otherwise reach. So the article for this, but the other ones lean and imply this anyway. Nanomaterial-based vaccine adjuvants. Okay, number 4. We'll mitigate something that is inherently toxic by making it less so. Parentheses, but really, we'll just observe how the body obviously and already mitigates the best it can. We'll call it good. Dependence of graphene oxide toxicity on oxidation level, elemental composition, and size. Improved in vitro and in vivo biocompatibility of graphene oxide through surface modifications, polyacrylic acid, functionalization is superior to pegylation, that's capital P, capital E, capital G. I'm not sure how they want to pronounce that. Next, protein corona mediated mitigation of cytotoxicity of graphene oxide. It's really funny in here because when I say, we'll just see how it mitigates and we'll call it good, all they're doing is saying, well, you know, if you put it inside the blood, if you put it inside the serum, that's the blood, then the body does react to it. So that makes it slightly less toxic than if it was just near a cell with no serum around it. Yeah, but what if it is right at a cell and not in serum? Okay, so all this is doing, as I say, is we'll just observe how, well, it does that to anything that comes into the bloodstream. You're just talking about the regular mechanism. That's different than whether or not it's bad for mammalian animals. So it becomes an excuse, because as we saw in one of the first articles, it was around toxicity in fish. Next, hard corona composition and cellular toxicities of the graphene sheets. That's another term you'll hear, graphene sheets as opposed to nanoblades. Protein corona mitigates a cytotoxicity of graphene oxide by reducing its physical interaction with cell membrane. So when something foreign comes into the blood serum, it surrounds it. And what surrounds it is a bunch of proteins that create a corona. Interesting, but we're not going to go there for now. It's not that suspicious just yet. I've talked about this implication, what I just told you. A corona, huh? Okay, so this one, that one also then touches on the next category, which is tricking the body. And then finally, insight into the interaction of graphene oxide with serum proteins and the impact of the degree of reduction and concentration. So again, all these are about, well, you know, when they say, man, this is really, really toxic, they're just building up a bunch of stupid articles to say, yeah, but the body does try to do something with it. Yeah, no. It tries to do something with everything that goes in the body. Okay, now, how we'll trick the body into not responding to its full capacity to this very toxic load. Hey, spoiler, I'm going to tell you now, they pre-treat it with weakened human blood that does not, and it may not be always human blood, that's all I'm not even sure of, but they pre-treat it with weakened blood that does not fully mark it as the threat it is. So that your blood, once it gets into your body, thinks your body has already marked it, so it passes through, okay? If you don't believe me, just listen to the title. Exploiting the biomolecular corona. Pre-coating of nanoparticles enables controlled cellular interactions. Actually, did not state that one verbally in the episode, but I'm stating it now. Also just miscellany, and I think we'll probably just cut it off and not worry about that brave discussion. We'll make that a separate episode, actually. So just consider that earlier mention a tease. But some of the miscellaneous ones I'd found at the time, which are interesting, we're not going to go into it, but I am going to tease what they're really about. One, improved Allii Vibrio Fischeri-based toxicity assay. Graphene oxide is a sensitivity booster with a mobile phone application. So we are talking about how, now we're talking about how these can be used in either an application or in something that's in your body. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Not sure which, didn't read that fully. the molecular influence of graphene and graphene oxide on the immune system under in vitro and in vivo conditions. While that name isn't as clear looking at the abstract, it does appear to be, but I've not delved more about hybrid bioengineered nanomaterial. And one of the related articles, for instance, I'm not going to tell you the words that made me think that's probably where they were headed, because again, I'm not trying to go into it. But a related article that cited it, hybrid nano-bio interface between proteins, peptides, and two-dimensional nanomaterials. So again, the molecular influence of graphene and graphene oxide on the immune system under in vitro and in vivo conditions. But the article was really about that biointerface. And then finally, another one that has to do with more like biointerface, biological interactions of graphene family nanomaterials, an interdisciplinary view. Now you can see, you listen to them, you listen to the titles. We'll say it again. What is the logic string? And you can also look at the little graphic that is the image now for Quick Rant of Truth 63. And in fact, I'll mention those real quick. So I say something purposely engineered as nanoblade is toxic. Who could have possibly predicted? And this is a quote. The large part of available current literature indicates that graphene-based nanomaterials are cytotoxic. Another quote. Flow cytometry and microscopy experiments reveal that lightly oxidated GO, graphene oxide, can act as a nanoblade that causes mechanical damage to algal cells. Then we have a little graphic that is from a journal article that literally is labeled pre-coating. And it says protein mixture, IgG depleted plasma. That's what I'm talking about. IgG is your antibodies. So they have depleted blood that they're running the thing through to begin with. And that's probably why part of the reason it's so sensitive, because it's mixed with blood. As far as, you know, distributing it, manufacturing it, how you have to be extra careful and you've got to have a temperature limitation and all that stuff. And then finally, on that infographic or the image that goes with the episode, nanoparticles were pre-coated with immunoglobulin depleted plasma to create and design a protein corona that reduces cellular uptake by immune cells. So what does that mean? It means immune cells are not interacting with this invader as much, this toxic invader. You've heard the journal article titles. Now, think, did we prove this kind of by journal articles, but to piece it back together again, one, graphene oxide, and by implications, most or all of these artificially small nanoparticles are toxic. Two, but we're going to use them anyway. Three, and we have an excuse anyway. Adjuvants must have some toxicity, and we can use them as a platform slash carrier to deliver the drugs or vaccines to parts of the body they wouldn't otherwise reach. Four, we'll, quote, mitigate something that is inherently toxic by making it less so, parentheses, but really we'll just observe how the body obviously and already mitigates the best it can, and we'll call it good. Five, how we'll trick the body into not responding to its full capability to this very toxic load. Thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Look for that next one. I don't know how quickly I'll do it, but around that AI conversation. Okay, again, guys, thanks for listening to Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.